Thanks, Scott. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. There are not any bulletins today, so I'm going to walk us through kind of an understanding about what today's all about. We talked a little bit in leading up to this that this is a different Sunday. This is a Sunday where we want to really take time to pause and reflect the ways in which the Lord has been so kind to us, to respond to how great He is and how big He is in our history and in our hopes for the future. We didn't want this so much today to be about a person or about just two people. We really want this to be about what the Lord has done here at Jacob's Well for the last 13 years, what He's promising to do in the future, and to hear testimonies about how He's been so faithful in the history of our church and in the lives of its people. And there's going to be lots of opportunities today to pause and respond to hearing those things in our singing that's kind of pieced throughout the rest of the service for today. So a lot of beautiful things to encounter. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Jesse. The kids are staying up here the whole time. That's wonderful. The adults are going downstairs. Perfect. Very good. Yeah. If you need a brief moment of sanity, you can go downstairs. It'll be quite quiet. So friends, that is what this Sunday is about, in really recognizing historically that the Lord has been so kind to us through stories of the people we're going to hear, through their lives individually, and this is going to bolster for us a genuine and real hope that we should hold on to for our future. So thanks so much for being here. I have a couple proper standard announcements too. This is great. I don't know what was more intimidating, when you were standing or when I heard the kids were staying up. But so I want to walk us through a couple of things. We've got a lot of visitors here today. We've had some new people coming the last few weeks. So I want to walk through some standard announcements about what goes on during the week outside of just Sunday morning. So men's Bible study meets on Monday evenings at Dave Park's house. Dave Park lives just down the way from here. Mondays at 6 p.m. That's his address there, 9 Kent Drive in Normal. If you were fearful you'd get lost in car, you could make it walking in about 5 minutes, I think, from our garden in the back. But Tuesday mornings, then, we have a men's faith study that meets. They had just finished this book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, and they're taking pause here to reflect on what they're going to study next. So this is a great opportunity if you've been interested maybe in joining them. This next Tuesday, they're going to be talking about what they're going to study together next. So if you're interested in that, the place is at Andrew's Place of Business, which is Miris Research. The address is there, 618 East Lincoln in Normal. That's Tuesdays at 7 a.m. It lasts just an hour. They get out at 8 o'clock, but a really great time. I do want to let people know, Lynn sent me a really kind message on Wednesday asking if there was prayer last Wednesday. There was. There is going to be prayer this Wednesday, too. So we would so much love if you would join us here at Jacob's Well Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. I know for so many in this fellowship who have participated in that historically and currently, that is one of the highlights of our week, just getting to be together and praying for the needs of our church. We've got a couple things we're going to pray about this morning. I'll pause on this announcement for a second, that last one we were at. So a couple people in hospital right now. I heard just this morning that Bill Matthews is in hospital for some swelling of unknown origin to his face, and they're kind of doing some testing to figure that out. My son Ferris is in hospital right now with pneumonia. So he's on the mend, though. They think he should be able to come home today. In mentioning all of that, this is really why Wednesday becomes so significant. These troubles sneak up on us when we're not expecting them. We're reminded of the fragility of our bodies at times when we should be aware of it a little more often. Even if you can't come on Wednesday nights, if you have prayer requests for your family, for yourselves, for people in your work or in your life that you pray for regularly, please let us know about that. We would love to add that to our prayer list and make it normalcy that we be alongside you in lifting up that person. You can send us that message by sending it to any of the emails or the phone numbers that are typically in the bulletin. We don't have a bulletin today. But that is the best way, really, to get that information to one of the elders or to our pastor, and then we'll delineate it to the prayer group on Wednesday. Thursdays. Fridays. There you go. Thursday's vacation for everybody. Fridays, the women have been so faithful to continue meeting, to discuss their book, Uninvited. Friday mornings at 7 a.m., the coffee house in Uptown Normal. And you guys meet, I think, just for an hour, right? I've tried to come a couple times, but I've never been invited. I am? I'm invited? Perfect. Yeah, these are the perfect tie-ins, always. Very good. I did want to make another announcement, too. We have a... Oh, Dave's shaking hands with him now. Hey, Mac. Mac, can we have you give a wave? There he is. Look at Mac back there. Mac, the Salem auction is coming up the end of this month. Is that right? It's the 28th of April. And I believe bidding starts at 8:30. That's correct. Good. Thank you so much. Salem is a ministry that we support here at Jacob's Well, and it is a ministry for troubled boys in Flanagan. It's a boys' home where they continue to go through schooling. They get beautiful discipleship and mentoring from the men there on the campus and the women, too. It's a beautiful place. Probably the easiest way to really get out there and get a pulse for the place and see the work they're doing is to go to the Salem auction. That has always been a highlight for Chelsea and I know for some others in this church. So it's in Flanagan. Salem for Youth is the ministry, and this is a big day for them. So the 28th is a Saturday, the end of this month. The bidding starts at 8:30. You do need to be careful when you walk in not to wave to people you recognize. I did that once, and I bid on a $500 vacation package. And luckily, someone outbid me promptly thereafter. But it's a really beautiful time. All of the items that are up for bidding, the money they receive from that goes to the boys' home. And that, I know, is a huge item for them on the calendar as far as raising support. And like I said in the beginning, if nothing else, just going there to see the campus, to meet some of the boys that will be up there holding items, and to really feel for the pulse of the place, you never know what the Lord's going to call you into. And sometimes just being in a place like that is enough to turn your heart towards something new. So do check that out. It's on the 28th, end of this month, on Saturday. I'm checking to see if there's anything else on my mind at the moment. Oh, I do have another announcement. Any engagements this last week in the crowd? We have any engagements? Do we? Hey! Tim and Allison! I just throw that question out once a year and hope that someone says yes to it. You guys did! Tim, I bumped into Allison at Kroger one day after work this week. I think it was the day after. You proposed on Tuesday? Monday, okay. So I saw her on Tuesday. And I asked because you guys were at prayer, I think just the week before. And Dave was praying for you guys. I think praying for you, Tim, and your work. And he remarked something about praying for your family. And it was a bit of a joke. We all had a chuckle. And then you responded the next week. But this was in the works already. You had been thinking about it for months. We're so happy for you guys. Congratulations. That's really wonderful. Anyway, those are all the proper announcements I had right now. We are going to have a time of prayer before our offering. In praying for these people who I've mentioned who are ill, my son and Bill, are there any other pressing health-related prayer requests? Yeah, Josephine. Oh, my goodness. Bob, being at Broman, the barometric measure of my sanity was based on whether or not we got to stay at Broman or go to Peoria. I can't imagine. I love you guys, and you've been so faithfully going there for like a month now, right? Yeah, I'll gladly pray for Josephine. Thank you. Bruce, would you mind coming up? We'll have a prayer together, and then after that, I'll help you with the offering, since Bill is absent. So friends, this promises to be a really beautiful service for the reasons I mentioned before, because we want to recognize the Lord's faithfulness to us historically, and we want that to be the reason why we have hope for the future. We're going to hear some testimonies from some people in our fellowship, and we'll have a really beautiful time of interviewing, too, of both Dave and Scott. So thank you so much for being here this morning, and please join me in prayer if you would. Lord Jesus, it is so good to be in your house. It's so good to be with your people. It's good because you've made a home for us here. You've made us to be a family. And it's because you're so big in these seasons of trial related to health for Bill right now, for my son Ferris, and for little Josephine, who's in Peoria. Lord, you know how fragile our frames are. We are so tempted to forget that when we feel quite strong and robust. But it's in our weakness that we sometimes greatest recognize your strength. I pray that would be the case now for Bill and Susie. I pray it would be the case for my family. And I pray it would be the case for the Veracruz family as we patiently await the healing that you offer. Lord, thank you for bringing us together today in this day of remembrance, in this day of recognizing where our hope comes from. And we pray that all these opportunities that we have to respond to you in worship, in singing, in hearing of your faithfulness, and even in this giving, that these would be beautiful aromas to you in your throne room. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be together, and we're glad to be a part of this family. Amen. Can we hit the front lights again? Thank you. I would give a shout out to Bill, but he's not here right now. He put together that video for us. That's really kind. There was one other thing I forgot to announce that I'd like to say. In the back there, we have our cheer bucket. Yeah, there you go. And we asked through email that you would take a moment to reflect maybe a story or something you would like to remark to Dave and Sue and to put pen to paper and really say that to them, to bless them. If you didn't get a chance to do that ahead of time, there are some cards back there. There are pens. You can have an opportunity throughout this service to do that. Feel comfortable if you're led to do that to step up at some point and go back there. There'll be times where we pause for singing. That'll be a great opportunity too. But really, we're not going to stop you if you need to get up and do that. We'll have until the end of the service before we present that all together. So this is the point where we're going to have a testimony time. And the first person who's up to give a bit of a testimony here to the Lord's faithfulness is Sarah. Sarah, would you come up and join me? Yeah? You get this fine mic right here. Well, you have to push the button.
Where's the button?
I've been trained. It took about 6 months for me to get trained on this. Yeah. That's
great
the button.
Line.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sarah, you've been here for how long now at Jacob's Well? We've been in church for 13 years.
I visited at 13, and I think when I moved here, it was 12 years ago.
Really? Yeah. You couldn't stay away for long, could you?
No.
We're so glad you didn't. And you've grown quite a family for yourself since you've been here.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to stop talking and leave it to you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
I'm crying, and I'm not even started. I had to write it out so I would stay focused. Like he said, it was the love of people here that drew me here, and I moved here after college without a job because I just felt like that's what God wanted me to do, and it's been awesome. I've always been really proud of this place because people are real. I can't remember anyone ever putting on a show, and I always brag about that when I'm telling people about our church. I've just experienced people being open about challenges, about our everyday lives, and I think a big part of that is that you two have modeled that for us, that you've always been transparent with us. You've been open about your struggles, and we've supported you. And you've also supported us in our struggles, and in 13 years, really. I can't count how many times you've done that for me and my family, my brother, too, wherever he is. So definitely more than I can count. And you two have become family to me and to my family. Scott, where are you? In your interview, I really appreciated that you were honest and transparent, and I've continued to see that as I've gotten to know you. And Karen, I think you're the same. After the interview, I went and told Micah that you are a good seed. And Micah, half dorky, half wisely, said Jacob's Well is a great place for him to grow, like we're the soil for you. So I think that's true. I'm thankful that you and Karen will be our new Christian community. This church loves deeply, and I pray this transition goes smoothly. We've been praying that long before we knew who you were. That it will go smoothly as we support you and as you support us.
It's my privilege now, Dave, to get to interview you. If you would come up and join me. We don't have Daniel Schutz to carry your chair up for you. Would you like your chair?
No, that's okay.
It makes me feel better because then you're not so much.
You want me on my chair?
No, I'm joking. Come on. Yeah. You get the wireless mic, my brother.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Do I need this? Is this on? Am I on, Andrew? Am I on? Oh, it's on so you can record it.
Yeah, I'll help you. There you go.
My eyes are welled up right now. I can't see very well, so okay.
You're doing great.
No, thanks.
Dave, I really count on this privilege to get to interview you. I haven't yet told enough bad jokes that they've revoked my announcement privileges. And I think that's what's allotted me this position, but I cherish it.
So thanks.
In today's service, I wanted to take the moment to ask you a couple questions, kind of reflecting on old business and new business.
Okay.
And how the Lord has been so kind to you all these years. So
that's right.
A couple things I had thought of to want to ask you. You've talked about this before, but I want you to remind us of it. When you were first asked to be a pastor, it wasn't something you saw coming. What were the emotions that you had when you were first asked that idea of would you consider?
How much time? I'm serious.
Yeah.
This time slot, how much time is there?
Let's say 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd been in business with Mac and Scott
five.
For...
Okay.
Many, many years, and out of nowhere, this guy shows up and buys me out, and yet it was very, very strong conviction that God was in this, so I go to grad school, but I don't know why. I don't know why I'm there, and I'm just trying to move from businessman to Bible student is what I'm doing, and it wasn't easy, but it was good, and about... I will say a year and a half in, I got a phone call out of nowhere, and it was Roger Pryor from Heartland, and I didn't know Roger, and he just said, you know, I've heard about you, and Scott Wagner from the FEC is interested in talking to you about planning a church. And when that phone call came, a whole lot of things came into focus. And one is that I had to start a business out of nothing, so starting a church out of nothing seemed like a doable challenge. I wasn't really afraid of it, so that's that.
That's great.
Yeah, did I answer your question?
You did.
Okay,
yeah, you did.
Thanks.
I wanted to ask, too, what parts of our history here at Jacob's Well in these last 13 years do you think best shape our heritage as a church?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is that if you ever heard the whole story about how we got this place, because it was July, it was late July of 2005, and we had no place to go. Some of you who came to prayer on Wednesdays will remember us going all over creation to buildings that we couldn't afford, that didn't give us any opportunity. Yet, we weren't frantic, because we had to be out at the end of August. Of Jumers. And then Tyler shows up, and that whole thing just had God's arms all around it, that this place would become available to us. And when we saw the footprint of this place, and I was involved in a co-ministry thing with some campus ministries, it came to me that we should have a community garden. And so we distinguished ourselves early on. I see the Barneses here, and I'm so grateful for how much you guys helped in that garden with your boys. It was just a wonderful thing. And so that kind of gave us a unique reason to be. And we always, as Sarah said, we always said, be real here. Don't play any games here. Just be real here. And so the connection with the soil, with growing things, with teaching... We had a lot of folks here who didn't know how to garden. Teaching those things, I think, was a great metaphor for our spiritual lives. So I think that. We used to have a good softball team.
That was fun. Hey.
That was fun.
Our management is top-notch, though.
Yeah, right. Well, Bruce was our manager then, and I remember, I mean, that was long enough ago that I still played some. And so I played college baseball. I played baseball for 21 years. But my greatest memory is playing for the Jacob's Well team. I'm pitching. Becky is playing first base, and a ground ball is hit to her, and I sort of run. I go as fast as I can to first. She flips it to me, and we get the person out. And I thought, Becky and I just made a baseball play. That had never happened before. It has never happened since.
Yeah. That's okay.
So that's what's important about the church.
Yeah. Those are the big two takeaways.
One more, if I can.
Oh, yeah.
We have the best food at our potlucks. It's so good. Now, that is true. But here's
that's
the thing.
That's objective opinion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Here's the thing. There are a handful of you that I knew before this, but most of you I didn't know. But isn't it glorious that we love each other? That we do life, we do hardship, we do blessing together. And this blending of our lives is the most significant thing that's happened. It's why Sue stands in my office today and cries, because we know that for a season, that's going to have to change. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We don't know exactly, but it's that you are my loves, that I care about you. And no one has ever said, don't find out about me, or don't help me, or don't encourage me. Everyone has always been so welcoming, and I thank you for that. So,
thanks. Yep. This is no mystery to most of us, but you're a dreamer. And some of us in here even have been out to your house before for something called dreamcasting.
Yay, dreamcasting.
Dreamcasting is where you just get a whiteboard and you just take turns putting your dreams up there. And then somehow together you're supposed to figure out how that creates this large amorphous dream that everyone can live in. It's a beautiful thing. There's never any diminishment of dreams.
How do you think America came to be?
Dreamcasting.
Dreamcasting. Yeah. That's exactly right.
There's a bit of a war that happened, My question, though, to you, in light of the fact that you're a dreamer, is in what ways have you, as you look back now, and I know you've been doing this, but I'm sure there are ways the Lord has just exceeded your dreams for this place. I wonder if you would just share that for a moment. Remember our timeline.
Yeah. The fact that we'd been here for about 3 years, we'd made this our home, we had the garden, we had so much going, and then this group of people from Chicago shows up here and says, we're buying the place and you're out. And we had an agreement with the owners of the place that couldn't happen. I contact the owners of the place. They said, well, we're going to ignore the agreement. And that was an attack on our integrity and on our ministry. And what God did, and it's a long story and I won't go there, but what God did time and time again in that process was inspire me to do something that every time I did it, it shook them up and it worked. And it was good. It was a good thing. And then finally they just backed off, and it was like, that was an amazing victory for us that he was with us. It's happened over and over again. And as I looked at those slides, I just saw so many people who have poured through here over the years, and I trust have been blessed. And so it's people.
That's beautiful. Yeah. One last question. So this is our last question. So worship team, get your guitar picks ready. Dave, what is your hope for this next season, this adventure after Jacob's Well right now, after your pastor?
For Sue and I?
For your family, yeah.
Yeah. My earnest hope is that Sue and I can do life together. It's been an interesting marriage in that we have done a lot of things together, but we've done a lot of things separately because of our work situations. When I was in business, I worked a lot with these guys. We worked a lot of nights, a lot of weekends, traveled a lot. I know that the last 8 years I was in business, I was gone for 3 of those years, and that has a toll. And then in this job, I work nights, and she works days. So I think we get along better and enjoy life better when we're together. Now, it's an economic situation, so we'll see what happens. But what I want to do is be Sue's husband and just really go to places and do things and see things that we've never that we've only dreamed about. And so we want to do that. And then taking care of grandkids is awesome. Yeah. So, yeah.
Sue, just for the record, he didn't say cattle farming. Yeah.
And then there's this cattle farming.
Oh,
thing.
Hey.
Yeah, she said last week, get yourself 2 cows, which is ridiculous. I'm not going to have any cows, but I'm going to get something.
That's called high-level bluffing.
Yeah,
she's
right.
Played Texas Hold'em before.
All right. Is that it?
Hey, that's it.
Thanks.
I love you, man. Hey, Dave Getz. Can I put you on the spot for a second? You can stay where you're at. You! There was a couple years ago, we had a Valentine's Day dinner here at Jacob's Well, and we put on a version of Jeopardy. And we came up with these different questions, and the clues were typically something related to church past, an event or a person. And one of the clues, the category was beards. And the $1,000 question was, the clue was, it pours forth wisdom. What was the answer to that? Or what was the proper question? Remember? So last question, it pours forth wisdom. It's a person. Oh, yeah. It was Lynn, yeah. What is Lynn Niebel's beard? It pours forth wisdom, yeah. Lynn is our second. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Okay, that's fair. I'm stepping on toes. We had one more song. I appreciate the tap on the shoulder. I'm a bit distracted. I'll blame it on Ferris. There you go, yeah. Lynn, Scott said we can have you come up and we'll do your testimony and then we'll do the song. Would you come up? I was wondering why you weren't standing, but it's because you're a better participant than me. Oh, okay. Hey, I'll do that. He's so humble, folks. I am. Yeah. Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay. I'm not a public speaker, so this may not be too good, and it's going to be short. But I was talking to one of the visitors last Sunday, and he asked me how long I'd been here, and I told him I'd been here from the beginning, and that was true. He says, well, you must be one of the, what was it? I said, not an elder, but he said I must be one of the founders, and I told him I wasn't a founder. I was more of a fixture, and that's true because when this was a Free Methodist Church, before Dave and his group came, I was here. And when they came, it was hard because, of course, we had a church family here, but our church family, Free Methodist, was struggling. And Dave came, or Pastor Tyler Boyer was pastor here, and he offered Dave the chance to come and used the church, and they accepted, and eventually, with God's help, and Dave stole some of that thunder, they were able to buy the place, and there were some renovations going on. Some things weren't too popular, but I hung around, and I helped them do the renovations, and I and Betty had a decision to make, whether we wanted to stay or find another church. And so we decided we wanted to stay. And it was really one of the better decisions I've ever made in my life. Hmm. I've never been accused of making a lot of those, but that was one of them. And because the people just seemed so genuine, and Dave and Sue were so genuine, and we've learned to love all you here in the church, and Dave and Sue have become two of our very best friends. And I hope in this transition that we can remain friends. May not be my pastor, but at least he can be a friend. So I hope for that. I want to welcome Scott and Karen. I'm going to say that Scott and Karen's going to have their hands full filling these two people's shoes. So I'm gonna hang around for that too. I'm not a big fan of change, but I've learned that God usually has something good for those who wait. So I'm going to wait a while. And I appreciate you.
They have done that, and I just can't thank you enough. I never 1 week had to worry about the music, and that's a blessing. Because when I said, yes, I'll do this, one of my first thoughts is, what are we going to do about music? Well, I'll tell you, I want to ask you a question. If a friend of yours suddenly became your pastor, would you treat him with the respect that you should treat a pastor? And I will tell you, Scott and Lori have done that, and it's fabulous. So thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Yeah, love you too. Now I'm going to sing a little song I've been working on. Oh.
Thanks. We mic'd you not because we thought that people couldn't hear you, but because we wanted to record it. Thank you. No, it's okay. It was beautiful. Thank you. Scott, thanks for letting me step on your toes for that song. You guys are true musicians. You did beautiful work despite my interruption. Scott Moore, it's my privilege to ask you to come up now and to visit with me for a moment. Hey, Pastor Scott Moore. Good to see you, brother. Good morning. Yeah. I'm handing off a mic so that we can record easily. And I, just like with Dave, I wanted to ask you a couple questions. And I haven't gone over these really fully with you ahead of time. So if you want to pause for a moment before you answer, that's kosher.
Okay.
I got to ask you some questions too. There's one or two from when you came to preach, mm-hmm. from your first visiting here, mm-hmm. That I might recycle because there are people here that weren't here for that day.
Sure.
But thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks.
It's a beautiful thing that seems a lot more real now since you guys are here in the building.
Oh, it definitely seems more real, yes.
Yeah. So a couple questions for you. One of them is, we've talked about this some in different settings, but I would love for you to share with everyone when it was in your life that you first felt this call from God to not just be in ministry. Because I knew you years ago when you felt moved to be in ministry, but this call from God to be a preaching pastor.
Yeah. Well, it actually happened before we met and we're running around. I first felt called to ministry when I was probably 13 or 14. Hmm. I grew up with a lovely family, but faith was not something that we talked about in our home and we didn't pray together as a family. But I was dropped off at Sunday school. Every week, and my family was kind of on the margins of our church, but my extended family, and especially my dad's mom, my grandmother, was very involved in the church, and so I don't know if it was like a combination of convenience and expectation from my grandmother, but my older half-siblings, they got to stay home on Sunday mornings and sleep in and watch cartoons and eat cereal, and I had to go and endure two Sesame Streets worth lengthwise. That's how we measured time in those days. Of Sunday school class, and I would always begrudge the fact that I had to go, and then when I got there, I would have a wonderful time. And I remember at a very young age feeling God's presence. No audible voice and no confirmation of, you know, any kind of specific calling, but I remember feeling God's presence in very specific ways in Sunday school class. Fast forward a number of years, and I was on a mission trip in Chattanooga, and we were doing morning devotionals, and I just had this really strong sense that the kind of work that we were doing there that week, doing VBS and working in underprivileged neighborhoods, that was the kind of work I could do for the rest of my life and be really happy about. But I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know who to tell. It's not the kind of thing I could go home and be like, Mom, Dad, I think I'm supposed to be a pastor, because I don't think they would have really known how to have that conversation. And about a year later, I was at a CIY conference. I think you're all vaguely familiar with CIY here, or maybe really familiar, I don't know. And they had a call for, you know, it's like every night they had a different altar call. You know, there was one, you know, to accept Christ. There was one to rededicate your life to Christ. There was one for another thing. I don't remember. But on the last night, they said, if anyone feels, you know, called to go into vocational ministry, and that was language that was really foreign to me, you know, we'd like you to come forward and make a public statement about that. And I thought, well, I don't know what vocational ministry is, but I think I'm supposed to be a pastor, so I think I'm supposed to go up. And so I went up, and my youth minister followed me, and he prayed with me, and we ended up having a long conversation that night, and many more as the years went on, about what it means to be a pastor and what it would mean for me to be called of God and to do this type of work. Being a pastor is not higher than any other kind of work. It's not more special. It's not more holy. It's just different. You're the person in a church who's called to do some of the leading in particular ways. And that requires a particular kind of training, just like being a nurse does or being a teacher does. Shout out to all the teachers and nurses. And so I went to Bible college at Lincoln, and Lincoln Christian University down Interstate 55, and it was there that I had more of a strong sense that I was called to be a preaching pastor. I had an opportunity after my sophomore year to preach and lead a week of high school camp at Little Galilee down in Clinton, and I had preached once in church before. I had never really preached many times, many days in a row, and it ended up going pretty well. The kids were really impacted, and the adults that were there for the week were surprised that I could do this, and I was too. And after that week, this is kind of more of an intimate moment in my life, and so I'm going to open up, and it's a little scary. I didn't grow up in charismatic or Pentecostal churches, and I didn't grow up really in any kind of mystical tradition, and I appreciate those parts of the Christian family, and I've served and taught in churches and those parts of the Christian family, but I had a dream where it's the only time in my life I've really felt God speak to me directly in human language. But not to go into all the details of the dream, but at the end of the dream, I heard God say, you were created to tell the story. And I was like, I don't really know what to do with that. I woke up very emotionally impacted by that, and shared it with a friend, and he encouraged me to approach the preaching professor at Lincoln at the time, who's now over at Eastview, J.K. Jones. And I approached Dr. Jones, and I told him about the dream, and I told him about some of the experiences that had led up to it, and he said, well, Scott, I think you're called to be a preacher. And I was like, well, okay. And then a couple years later, I met you and Chelsea and some of the other folks that are here, Keith. I know there's others. I've served in associate roles, youth ministry here in Normal at College Park Christian Church, Texas, Indiana, and through all of these experiences, I've sought to just kind of grow as a preacher and as a pastor and be true and faithful to what I feel God has asked me to do.
Nice. That's beautiful. Yeah. I don't think anybody got the heebie-jeebies because you had a dream.
Well, I don't think so either, but I was like, whoa.
For sure. I remember Dane Davenport was the fellow who first introduced us to like the ministry of going to Basque Country and praying over there, and he came that first Sunday, and he got up. We didn't know what he was going to say, and he said, I had a vision, and he started going into it, and I was like, man, I really loved you. I was a little nervous at first because I'm like, I don't know where this is going, but
yeah.
No. Our Lord is big and mysterious, and yeah. He's clearly, you clearly heard and responded in the appropriate way. So we're so glad you're here. In saying that, obviously it's no mystery that we fell in love with you and your family. Karen and Anderson are wonderful.
I'm missing.
Where they are? They're right back there, yeah. He's a wild man. He's been trying to get up here and get you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
But it's one thing for us to decide after interviewing you, after seeing how you were qualified, after having you come that weekend. It's one thing for us to say we want you to come. We then had to wait for you to respond, which is appropriate. We want to know that you want us. So I guess my question is, when was it that you felt like then you've heard this call of God in your life to be a pastor? When did you feel like you were hearing that call of God, that this was the place for you to land?
Yeah. I guess I kind of have to start at the beginning. Hello there. Hi. Do you want to come up here? Hi. He's like, no.
Hey, he loves these stairs.
Yeah, he's like, who cares about Dad? These stairs are where it's at. I guess I'll be as brief as I can be, but I'll kind of start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Interestingly, having been a Free Methodist church building, I'm an ordained Free Methodist pastor, and I'm in transition to being part of the FEC now. The kind of relationship we thought we were going to have with our conference and the kind of opportunities we thought that was going to present for finding a place to serve just didn't end up materializing the way that we thought it would. And we never really got an explanation for why that was, and there's no bad feelings. And in fact, Matt, my superintendent, served as one of my references and had a nice long conversation with Tate. But I was starting to feel, back in the fall, kind of unsure of what it would look like to even try to find a ministry position. I'm going to leave some details out. I started looking online and some of the more reputable resources for finding jobs, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to look on the Lincoln website because I had had a bad experience in an independent Christian church, and we had made a decision as a family that we weren't going to serve in those church contexts anymore because we felt like we needed some denominational support. I was feeling really desperate one day, and so I jumped on the Lincoln website, and I just started looking through the job openings, and I saw Jacob's Well Community Church in Normal, and I thought, that's an odd thing to find here. I knew of Jacob's Well by reputation. I grew up kind of knowing Brady Peepenbrink a little bit, and I knew that he worshipped here, and I knew Tate and Chelsea, and I went to college with some people. Katie Breeze worshipped here a little bit when she was at Lincoln, and Alex Post. People that I really had I grew up in Clinton with Katie, actually, but and her siblings, but people that I had a great deal of respect for in college and I thought were good people, and they had always said nice things about Dave. Help yourself there. Somebody else's puzzle. I'm in. I said to Karen, because we were talking about trying to come back closer to the Midwest after Anderson was born, and we thought it would be nice to be near our grandparents, and our grandparents had been a big part of our lives growing up, and so I was like, I don't know if we want to go home. Like, we want to be within driving distance, but I don't know about being actually back home. And so she said, well, what's the worst that could happen? And I thought, well, we've kind of lived through that before, so we know what the worst that could happen is. But I tried to reach out to Tate and ended up not hearing back from you in a couple
Unreliable.
Of weeks. It's okay. You're a busy guy. Just to get a sense of what you all were looking for and what it would look like for me to even apply. And I didn't hear, and so Karen said, well, just apply. Just see what happens. And so I did, and I applied a couple other places, and I had several interviews across the country. I never went anywhere other than here for any of those interviews, but lots of phone calls and lots of Skype conversations. And after the first, I was hesitant. I was apprehensive.
I can watch them for you if you want.
Okay.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. So we were apprehensive, just to be very forward, about the idea of coming all the way back home and not really knowing much about Jacob's Well other than some things by reputation. but I start, you know, I heard from Bob. He gave me a couple of short email exchanges, and then I started to hear from Bill, and then things started to move pretty quickly. They were like, hey, you're in our top two. And I was like, I haven't even talked to anybody. So I was a little nervous. I was like, I don't know about churches that make decisions like this. And so Karen and I, we kept having conversations, and we kept talking and praying together about what it would mean. And then we came for the first interview, and really fell in love with the group that interviewed me. Felt very positive after our conversation that was like an hour and a half longer than it was supposed to, and knew that there was going to be a little period of waiting there as they interviewed another candidate. And you know, we felt good about what we'd experienced, but there was still a lot left to learn and to know. And when they invited us to come back for the weekend, we were still really just trying to see what God was saying. But after being here for a weekend and getting to meet more people from the church, getting to experience the generosity, the kindness, the openness, the vulnerability that you all have enjoyed together, that Dave and Sue have really fostered in their ministry here, the things that make this the church that you choose to worship at, the church that you choose to be discipled in, the church that you've loved and that has loved you, it was really clear from the very first minutes of our first meal with the McCormicks and the Irwins. That this was a place that was just going to be genuine and real. And during the open house I was visiting, I think, with Chris and Tate and maybe Tim, and I said one of the greatest strengths a church can have is having a very clear-eyed vision of who it is and who it wants to be. And I think that's your greatest asset as a church. You know who you are. You're comfortable with who you are. You know who you want to be. You know what you don't want to be. And all of that's very comfortable to you. And it was kind of at that moment when I was able to verbalize that I thought, yeah, this is really, really a good place to land. But we wanted to be sure. And so Karen and I had more conversation, and we spent more time in prayer. And the more that we talked and prayed, the more that we felt, yeah, this is really it. We really felt that God was saying, you wanted to go home. You wanted to be closer to family. You wanted to be in a church that knew itself well enough, knew what God was asking of it. And you were the things that we wanted. And so, yeah, you wanted me, and we wanted you. And so after a week of praying, we called and said, yeah, we want to come. So
that's a beautiful assessment of us. Thank you for
yeah.
that. We long said in the long timeline of our search, we remembered this phrase we go back to, he walks the earth. So we knew you did then. We know you do now. It's beautiful to be here now. So
yeah.
Thanks. I have just one more question, if I might. We've talked a lot about how the Lord prepared you to be a pastor, how he was preparing you to be our pastor. Knowing what we've talked about kind of with our history and our heritage and the assessment you've made of things, which we're so graciously grateful for. I'm interested to know, and I think you've been asked this by a couple of folks, so you've been able to chew on this for a while, but just as being our pastor and stepping into this role now, what are you most excited about, Scott?
Yeah. I think in leading, pastoring is a kind of leading. I think it's really important to play to your strengths. And so one of the things that I feel God has called me to and that I've spent a significant amount of time developing in myself is being a preacher. And I'm looking forward to being here week after week and preaching from Scripture. I don't know how many of you, there was a time, I don't know if it's still that time, when like listening to sermons on podcasts was like super popular. And there were some big name pastors that would preach for sometimes upwards of an hour week after week in their churches. And I would listen to the podcasts from some more well-known pastors. And it really felt like there was a shift that would happen in their worship services where they would go from worshiping God and then the pastor would come forward and say, okay, now it's time for me to teach you something. And that, during my time at Lincoln, studying with Dr. Jones and the time that I'd spent in churches ministering, the more that felt like maybe what was happening during the preaching time was getting away from what was supposed to be happening on Sunday mornings. Preaching is an extension of worship and one of maybe two points, kind of high points of a Sunday morning worship service. And so I'm really excited to help come alongside the great and gifted worship leaders that you have here at Jacob's Well and to just lead in worship. I'm not a songwriter or a singer or a musician. I used to play the French horn a long time ago.
Oh,
that doesn't really fit well into a, you know, a contemporary praise band. But I mean, like, hey, someone brings a mellophone to church, I'll give it a shot. But to help lead that part of our Sunday morning worship experience well, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to coming alongside Mike and Alicia Irwin in the small groups ministry, and just helping to provide consistent leadership there. They've done a great job from what they've shared with me and what other people have shared with me. And I just want to see that be a ministry that grows and where God can use the friendships and the family relationships that we have here and by his Holy Spirit just continue to transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ. That's what small groups are about, transformation, I really feel. And the third thing is this wonderful new library that you have. Literacy of all kinds, I feel like, is really decreasing in our culture. It's more important to have a little bit of information and a lot of opinion about that little bit of information as opposed to having a real humility about the vast amount of information maybe that you've spent actual time plowing through and chewing through and talking with people who you agree with and disagree with. And I think a church library really provides an opportunity for that. So this is something that you've all discovered for yourselves as important, and it's fairly new and young. And so I really want to see us lean into that together. And so I want to find ways of having us enter into important texts that are scriptural or theological or just novels and memoirs, because God is present everywhere. God's fingerprints are all over stories from people who know him and people who don't know him. And so I want to find ways of just being people of humility who actually know what they're talking about when they open their mouth to speak about something. And I think our library is going to be an opportunity for us to do that together. So those are the things I'm most excited about. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, hey, please, friends, join me in welcoming Pastor Scott Moore. Thanks so much, Scott. That's beautiful. I had shared this before. I think I was telling you this, Scott, when we were together the other night, but Ainsley was making an assessment at the dinner table the other night. We were praying for just pastoral succession and this change, and we were talking about Dave retiring, and we were explaining why that was, and she was thinking about it. She asked a lot of those why questions, so we're trying to answer those. And then as she thought about it, she said, no, not until he's bigger. I said, what do you mean bigger? I'm like, do you mean older? She's like, no, bigger. So your size does not depict the adequacy of how large your heart is. I only brought that up because you were hugging Dave, and the departure is a difference there. But after she got to chew on that for a minute, she's all in. She's really excited about this. I think Anderson makes it a really easy sell, too. Yeah, thank you so much. Susie Matthews was going to give our third testimony, but because Bill is in the hospital right now today, she is there with him. So Jean Corrigan, I was told, has graciously accepted to step into Susie's role. Do you want me to come to you, Jean? Yeah, I'd gladly. I did. I'll gladly come to you. I'm learning.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's not.
I have big shoes to fill this morning standing in for Susie. Such a godly woman and such an inspiration to me, and I'm sure to many that are in this church. So speaking for Susie, she says, I thank God for preparing us and leading us to Jacob's Well when it was still in the beginning stages. We had just left a 7-year high school ministry at our previous church, so God decided it was time for us to transition from high school to college ministry. In the early years of Jacob's Well, 40% of the congregation was college students from ISU and Wesleyan and young singles. We were invited to be a part of DRL at Illinois Wesleyan. Bill and I would meet with the DRL leaders before the students arrived, pray with them, and then stayed for their weekly meeting as resources, just in case any of the students wanted to talk further. Our first exposure to college students at Jacobs Well was through five lovely ISU volleyball players. After meeting them at church, we started attending their volleyball games, which led to lunch at the Matthews after church on Sundays. That continued and grew from 5 to 39 on any given Sunday for the next 7 years. As it grew, it started to include soccer players, football players, basketball players, boyfriends, girlfriends, and other young singles. Other gatherings included American Idol nights, glee nights, laundry nights, knitting nights, dance nights, snowed-in nights, etc. Basically, anytime they wanted to talk or get away from the dorm. As those years went by, there were bridal showers, weddings, and lots of new babies, which then expanded my card and prayer blanket ministry. It has been a pleasure to be a part of the Jacobs Well outreach to college students and now many young couples, both here and continuing to be a part of the ones who have moved away. Another part of ministry Bill and I have enjoyed is the Basque students since 2011. We started with summer in the USA. In 2013, Hannah and I were happy to be part of the Circle Tour group from Jacobs Well that went to Basque Country for 17 days. And this year will be our fourth year with American Dream. It has been our honor and privilege to be Maria's American parents for the fourth year in a row. Thank you to Dave and Sue for allowing us to do our thing through Jacobs Well.
Thanks. That is what we call a good pinch hitter. Good morning. This day is the culmination of a lot of things for our church, and one of those is a lot of work that was put forth by a lot of people. And when Dave started that ball rolling, when he made his intentions for this transition, about 2 years ago by now, when we first started laying the groundwork for this, that involved a lot of people. A lot of planning, a lot of prayer, and as I look out in this room, I know that a lot of you had something to do with that, whether it was praying for that process, being a part of one of the groups, whether it was reviewing resumes or part of the interview team, or just generally supporting our church. That has meant a lot to our leadership group, to our elders, so I just want to take a minute to recognize the work of everybody who has brought us to this point. So let's just recognize those people. I remember way back when I was dating Carrie Greeter, sitting in a pew at Congreville Mennonite Church one Sunday morning, when the Berry family came up to the front and unveiled their vision for a new church that was to be called Jacob's Well. And I had no way of knowing, there was nobody that could have had any way of knowing what God would bring out of that. And you look at the pictures and the slideshow and the testimonies we've heard and just the stories that have come out, just what God has done with that little seed that was planted. And that's something that's going to be a part of all of our lives. And we'll continue long after we're all gone with God's blessing. So we wanted to try to come up with some ways to just show our appreciation for the Berries, for Dave and Sue. Small tokens, but ones that we hope will bless you, encourage you, and let you know just how much you've meant to our church family here. As Tate mentioned, we've put it out there for anybody connected to our church to put together a memory or a blessing or a story in a card to just share with you something that you can read, hopefully come back to over and over again. And we thought there'd be no better way to deliver those to you than in the cheer bucket. So Will was good enough to lead that effort and have a little caption listed on the lid of the cheer bucket. I had no idea he was such a poet, but we gift you this harvest of cheer to celebrate the seeds you have sown here. So there are plenty of... Great. Well, if you have not yet had the chance to put your contribution of a card or a memory in there, please take time to do that. There are cards still set out. I'm sure Dave and Sue would welcome an extra note or two. So thank you. We have another... I'm bringing in my muscle because this... This is a lot heavier than what we thought it would be. We wanted to commemorate just the time that you've spent here, and we have a stone here that's been engraved. It's a passage of scripture from Jeremiah 3:15, and it says, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." That's exactly what you've done, and that's exactly what Scott will continue to do. We're a little church that's a part of a big kingdom, and we've been blessed to have the Berries as a part of that and lead that. We're just as excited to have the Moores continue that ministry. So we're so thankful for you guys. We should have given you a couple...
It's heavy.
Thanks, buddy.
I need to just give a brief shout out to Bob. Okay. A brief shout out to Bob and Jesse. They whisked me away to Milwaukee for two ball games this week, and I forgot my insulin. And I'd never forgotten my insulin before. No.
Yes, you have.
Oh, no, we got some, yeah, in Florida. They called it in for us, that's right. Well,
keeping them honest.
It was a severe experience. I could hardly walk, and having those two big boys literally help me around, help me to the car, help me to the drugstore, was a godsend. But just the fun and the love, and I need to thank just everyone who has just opened your hearts to us and loved Jesus through us. Bob and Candy came on as early as one could, and just it's a phenomenal thing to think of all of that. So I could go forever, and I won't, but thanks.
One other detail here. We've talked about in this time of transition how Dave and Sue will be stepping away from our church for a season. And as a part of that, I think that's a healthy thing. But we also recognize what a part you've played in our lives and what a part this church has played in your lives. So just so you hopefully still feel like a part of our church family, and so people can stay in touch with you. Alicia Irwin was good enough to do some organizing to arrange for some kind of a meal ministry here. So, like it or not, every 2 weeks or so, an individual or family from the Jake has volunteered to hook up with you guys for some kind of meal. And that is... So it's designed to be flexible, whether they have you over, they bring you some dinner, you meet up somewhere. We hope that is just one way that you can continue to feel to be a part of our...
You understand who I am. John explained something to me when I first started my ministry, and that is what my love languages were. Because I've never had that explained, and that's always helped me and encouraged me that maybe I was made this way. You know, so thank you so much. That's awesome. Plenty of ketchup. Yeah. Just plenty of ketchup.
We are in the home stretch. Something that Dave has remarked on here a number of times, and he is correct in saying this, is that Bob has gifted our church in a lot of ways, and one of those is in his prayer. So we thought it appropriate, as one of his final acts as an elder, to pray us into this transition. So let's have Scott and Karen.
Let me take it from here, because I have a seat. The reason, hey, you know, I didn't plan on doing this, but we are organic here, aren't we? So I have to thank Scott for this. I'd like to invite Strider and Blueberry up here. I hadn't heard that one before. I love that. Wish I would have known that.
It's a Lord of the Rings reference. So.
All right. So I just wanted to say that actually, Candy and I have known this sweet couple here for about a quarter century now. Okay, so we go back to well before Jacob's well days. Mm-hmm. Does that flow well before Jacob's well?
Yeah.
And what I remember about Pastor Dave in those days was that he was large. And he still is. In fact, he's even larger now. But then again, so am I. And that Sue Blueberry was a sweet thing. She's just a sweetheart. She's just so sweet. And now 25 years later, Dave is still large, and Sue is still sweet. And in spades. But what I really wanted to say is, having gotten to know Dave in this context as our pastor made me realize how...
This is impressive.
No, it made me realize that Isaiah is not having a good time right now. It made me realize how large his heart is, how sweet his spirit is, and Sue's as well. I've never heard the man raise his voice in anger to anybody. And that would be an imposing thing if he did. He's always just been in love with God and in love with God's people. That's what we ask for from Scott and Karen as well. And it has been a pleasure and a privilege serving with you.
And you too, brother. Thank you so much.
Okay, so our families are inextricably linked. I'm looking at John over here. Our sons, my son Brandon and John and Wally, went to CIY when they were kids. Young kids, high schoolers, and they made the decision together there at Christ in Youth in Carbondale to kind of refresh and renew and strengthen, focus their lives towards loving God and Jesus. And so we have that link, and that's been great. And I have to say, the past 14 years, because we predate the actual starting...
Yeah, that's right.
Has been an adventure, and I look forward to the next 14, that's for sure. So now, if Scott, Karen, and Anderson would come up, that would be great. And, you know, when you go last on the program, a lot of the material gets taken up, but just tolerate me here. Come on over on this side. So, as Chris mentioned, a lot of work went into identifying and selecting Scott to be our next pastor. And I just want you to know that. And what I find interesting is there are no mistakes with God. The connections that have taken place with Scott, it turns out I went to BSF with Karen's dad, I don't know, it had to have been 20 years ago. And when I saw him here, it was like, I know you. And so that was really cool. And then to hear about Brady Piepenbrink, come on up here, Brady, and his connection to the Moors, that's pretty cool. And so with that, I just want to invite Tate, if he's around, to come on up. Jesse, Tate's there. Okay. Hey, there's a lot going on here. So Jesse and Brandy, or at least Jesse, we have Brady up here. And then as we pray here, I just want to invite anybody else that wants to come up here and lay hands on the group to just send Dave and Sue off in a special way, and also to invite the Moors into our midst, okay? Bow your heads and pray with me, please. Well, that's what I just said. So come on up. Lay hands. Yeah, who cares? That's right. Who's here? Who cares who's here? All right. And on that special note, let's prepare our hearts to come before the Lord. Heavenly Father, this has been an adventure with Dave and Sue, and it's been an adventure that's been focused on loving you. It really, really has. And it's been an adventure on loving your people. And it has underscored such joy and also pain that happens within humanity. We are broken vessels, and we are a microcosm of why Jesus is needed in our midst, because we are broken. But this place has been such a wonderful refuge for people who are experiencing the joys of life and the sorrows of life. And we take all comers here because we love you. And that's all we want to do, is to love you, Lord, and to serve you and to draw people to you. So please continue to use us to do that as a church community. Please allow us to welcome the Moors into our midst and to follow Scott's and Karen's leadership here, and to use us as your tools to soften and mold and ply them into the leaders that you want them to be. And we lift up Dave and Sue and their family and ask that you give them peace and joy and the knowledge that they have served you well here. They have served you so well here, and it has been indeed our privilege to worship with them and to serve with them and to love with them. And that's all we ask from you, is that you use us to continue to do those things here at Jacob's Well. We look forward to what you have for us as we move forward, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.